In today's episode, John and I are joined by Matt Stevens, CEO of AppNeta. We're going to talk about all things network performance. Maybe we'll get into zebras or lions.
Tigers or bears.
You never know, so stay tuned.
Heads in the Cloud with your host, David Portnowitz, Graham Potter, and John Roth.
Welcome to today's episode of Heads in the Cloud. I'm David Portnowitz.
I'm John Roth.
And we are going to be joined today by Matt Stevens, who is the CEO and president of AppNeta. We're going to talk
Chief
about...
Chief Executive Officer as well.
I said CEO.
You did?
Yeah. Okay. Generally, when people say CEO, it's an abbreviation for Chief Executive Officer.
Wow, this is going to start off really bad quickly, isn't it? Wow.
No, I'm just giving you a hard time.
Okay.
No, I'm looking forward to talking to Matt today. I don't know anything about AppNeta, I'll be honest with you. You know anything about?
No, I don't.
I've read about what they do, but I'm interested to learn about who they are, what they do. I did
a brief a little, but they do network analysis and things of that nature.
Yeah, so network performance. You know, I think about network performance, I think about SD-WAN. So I want to ask them a little bit about where they fit in there. Is it a competitive product? Is it a complementary product?
Where it fit into the DAS environment? Does it fit in that environment?
Yeah, it's
or kind of where where's their niche? We'll find out.
And what kind of customers they go after too? Because it seems like the kind of product that could work for any type of customer. Yep. So I'm interested to learn a little bit more about that. And, you know, as we've talked about a lot on this podcast over the last few weeks, security is always a big thing too. Yeah. So how does it play in your security story if you're a customer? Yeah. A little bit about how they go to market. Is it a partner? So I'm interested to learn a lot, get a little bit deeper dive.
And I think it's always nice when we're talking to a company like this, because we don't know a whole lot about them. It's like, where they see themselves in 5 years or 10 years. And the future, because that really is a very good indication. So these guys that are, CEOs and, they're top of their game, they are looking far ahead. They are probably the year they're sitting in is like, okay, they're already 2 years out from that.
Yeah.
So I want to hear that story of where they see the market.
And Matt's got an incredible background too. I mean, he's been in the technology space since 1983. He was down in Harris, and so I think he's seen this space evolve. So I'm interested to hear his take. So let's get him on.
Let's ring him up.
Let's call him. All right, John and I are now joined by Matt Stevens. Matt is the president, the CEO, the grand poobah of AppNeta. Matt, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, hey, guys. I appreciate the time today.
No worries. Thanks so much for you giving us your time.
Absolutely.
And you are coming to us from Boston, is that correct?
Yes, right on Summer Street, the heart of Boston.
So you are right downtown.
Yes. Yep. Very nice. In the Seaport or the Innovation District, as the city of Boston likes to call it now.
So Matt, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your background, and then maybe we can talk a little bit about AppNeta as well.
Sure. So, it's been a really fun ride for me. I've been very fortunate to work with some great firms over the years and learn from some great people. I've been largely focused on technology my whole career. AppNeta happens to be my fifth startup now. And, I've spent a bit of time in the storage space, a bit of time in the security space, and now I'm in the network performance space with AppNeta that I co-founded back in 2011. And so it's been a really fun learning experience, both in terms of the problems we're solving, but just seeing some of the macro changes happening in the world of IT today and adoption of things like cloud and SaaS and all that kind of stuff. It's been a really fun experience.
So AppNeta, you mentioned network performance. You know, what does that mean? I mean, that's a very broad term. Are you talking about SD-WAN? Are you talking about, something bigger than that? Are you talking, what is network performance? Break that down for us.
Yeah, that's a great question. And, your question actually highlights one of the biggest challenges for all the vendors like AppNeta in this space, that it's a big, complicated, confused market. Excuse me. And, the space really that we play in really centers around a couple of key things. Number one, the end user experience of applications that rely on the network. So if I'm empowering an organization that has a bunch of knowledge workers in remote offices, and each one of those knowledge workers is using a business critical application, pretty good chance those apps are going to rely on the network to get to wherever they're hosted, whether that's in your data center, whether that's hosted by a SaaS vendor, or maybe you've decided as a company that move all your applications out to a cloud provider. Doesn't really matter to us because we're going to understand and measure the end user experience where those apps are actually running. But behind the scenes, we're also going to actively measure minute by minute, in some cases, second by second, how is the underlying network, whether that's your cellular network, your Wi-Fi network, your WAN, your LAN, any way that communicates between you and wherever that application is running, can that network support those apps and the loads and the users and all the stuff that you have to do in order to tell the business, yeah, the network's up to the task, or no, it's not? Because it's so often that our users will come back and say, boy, Google felt slow, or Office 365 took a long time to load, or I ran a report on Salesforce, and boy, it's really, really slow today. But they don't really know where to go next. And, you know, we're all kind of wired as people that, you know, if something is slow, the first place we tend to think about, like if you think about the last time your home network was slow, did you think that it was actually the service provider you were connecting to? Or did you probably think, oh, it's probably that cable company or something I'm doing on my Wi-Fi? We've kind of been conditioned as human beings to think that it's probably the network first. And so that's a core value that we tend to add, is to help customers understand, is it the network? And if it's not the network, well, what else is it? And so we broadly describe the space as network performance management, but it's actually a whole lot more. And it would incorporate things like end user experience and all the things that go with that.
So you're monitoring that network at all times. So you're basically, you've got a monitor, if you will. You got a monitor on the heart if you were in the hospital and looking at the beat. Is that a good analogy?
That's actually an excellent analogy. And the way we do this is we tend not to try to monitor every heart of every person. We tend to monitor from locations where people work. And so one of our specialties is to live in the remote office, because IT has done a pretty good job over the years of having monitors that live in the data centers. And there's vendors out there that do a great job of bringing performance visibility into the data center, because it's a physical piece of infrastructure you spend a lot of money on. And of course, you're going to then spend money to make sure it's working well. But conversely, IT and companies in general have done a horrible job, an absolutely horrible job, instrumenting the performance where the people are in the remote office. IT tends to think about things in terms of bits and bytes and technology and servers and all the technology stacks that make those work. But the people and the people using those applications is the most expensive asset in the business. And IT hasn't done a great job understanding what's the performance where the end users are. And so Apneta focused our sights on the remote office. And so, to use your analogy, we put that heart monitor on a per office location. So if you're a hotel chain and you've got 7,000 hotel properties around the world, you might have a one piece of Apneta technology. It could be software, it could be virtual, or it could even be a physical appliance. It's kind of your choice. You drop that technology into every hotel chain, and now you would have visibility to understand every application that chain is running that allows you to drive that property and measure in near real time, how are those applications performing? How are those end users experiencing that check-in app? How is the Wi-Fi performance working for the guests? How is all the apps I need to order food and linens and everything else to run a property all performing in real time? And that's kind of our methodology.
So what is the difference between what you guys do and what, say, a Big Leaf or an SD-WAN provider? Are you working hand-in-hand with those folks? Are you competing with those folks? How do you view that space? Because, in theory, they're doing something similar, right? They're monitoring the network, and they're helping the IT person prioritize which applications get the share of the data. I mean, are you sort of a complement to that? Or I'm trying to understand that.
Yeah, that's a great question. And at the end of the day, we are absolutely a complement. But if you think about whether it's SD-WAN or any number of different optimization technologies that have come and gone, and we definitely see SD-WAN on the uptake within our customer base.
And by the way, I want to say, I don't think SD-WAN is a business. I think SD-WAN is a product, is a product. And I think some of these companies that have built their business around SD-WAN, they need to look at the larger space, like WAN infrastructure and things like that. And I know that's how the analysts like Gartner and them are thinking too. Just pointing that out there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think SD-WAN is a how, excuse me, not a what. And yeah. I think if you think about the what's that we complement, because this is a complementary type of relationship, it really boils down to that same three components, which is to baseline where you are. If you implement some kind of a improvement, whether it be a transformation technology or an acceleration technology like SD-WAN, then measure how your changes from your baseline is performing. And then the final step is to give feedback to say, well, look, any one of these technologies, whether it's a faster ISP or whether it's a switch to SD-WAN, or I've decided to go away from wireline all the way to 5G in the next couple of years, all those things are great, but you have to know, are they actually working? And yeah. The final piece for us is we provide the feedback loop to say, okay, you spent the money, you put the training in, you put the people in, you put the product in, is it actually working? And so we're kind of the first step before you do the deployment. We're the middle step to help you guide your deployment, set up your policy, make sure it's working. And then the final step, probably the most in one, is most important, is to provide that constant level of feedback to make sure that things don't just drift out of norm. Because, you know, we all know in the world of IT, there's shift and there's drift, and it's the drift that kills you. We all want to talk about shift. I'm going to do this nice big transformation, and I'm going to make the company 10% more effective, and I need to do it because of this grand initiative, which is true and very powerful. But then we kind of move on to the next thing, and we find out that last transformation thing just kind of drift a little off course, and next thing you know, it's running into the ditch. And our job is to make sure we keep the road as wide as possible and keep people in the center line and avoid the ditches.
So I can see it's very powerful. And if you're purchasing, let's say, an SD-WAN solution, and you want to help prioritize which applications need the most attention to run this, have this running for a period of time before, and understand which applications are actually using the most data, right? Like which ones you may have an idea that think, gosh, I need to make sure my Salesforce is prioritized over everything else. But what if there's something, there's an underlying, there's Adobe or something else, I don't know, whatever the billing team is using that actually needs the most attention. So I could see AppNeta really providing a lot of value to the customer and understanding which applications need the most attention, maybe.
Absolutely true. And there's multiple dimensions that certainly focusing on which app needs to have the focus. But, like a lot of technologies that run solely in the branch office, SD-WAN, while very powerful, it only takes care of and only thinks in most cases about one end of the problem. If I have a perfect experience in my branch office and I have multiple WAN carriers that are serving that office, and the SD-WAN is load balancing dynamically and prioritizing apps the way my policy says to, that's all great. But the minute those packets leave my branch office, I've now left the domain of the SD-WAN. Now sure. What? I just hope it works. And because the AppNeta technology is designed to live all the way through the delivery chain, from wherever the app starts through whatever piece of infrastructure or carrier space carries it all the way to the branch office, we're giving the companies the complete visibility to understand everything related to application delivery and the associated end user experience. So SD-WAN, very, very important. And I loved how you framed it, very complimentary. But, it begins and ends at the branch. And of mm-hmm. course, if you're using, name your favorite SaaS applications today, you may or may not be able to do anything to affect that at the other side. But if your performance is slow, your users are still mad. They're still sad. They're still questioning IT's integrity. They're still wondering, what else do I need to do? Do I need to shift my behavior because I can't rely on the corporate network? And those are all things that we help with.
When you guys go to market today, do you do so directly through partners? How does that work?
Yeah, it's a great question. We're a mix, as many companies are today. Most of our go-to-market motion today is initiated by us through direct, but we fulfill through the channel pretty heavily. So most of our marketing and sales activities are direct focus. But if you look at our revenue and our SaaS ARR, we're probably about 60 direct, 40% indirect, because we tend to live where the customers buy. And a lot of our enterprise customers, because we're focused on the Global 5000 today, have really strong existing relationships with partners. And so they'll ask us, can you work with them for the actual procurement step?
So you're going through like big distributors, or are you working through like MSPs? Like what's your partner profile look like?
Yeah, it's either going to be direct partners or distributors. Not very much through MSPs, because we find by and large, they tend to be more focused on the mid-market where sure. they're really, really needed. And we kind of start at the upper end of the mid-market and extend all the way up to, you know, the world's largest companies. So, you know, 3 out of 4 of the largest companies by market cap are large AppNeta customers. We have 4 out of 5 of the world's largest cloud providers that depend on AppNeta. So we tend to focus up market, mostly because we have a very strong scale story, because we can cost effectively branch out, you know, to thousands of remote locations and still aggregate that data through our SaaS platform and distill that down to a kind of a single point in time and a single view to what's happening. So those kind of pain points tend to manifest themselves and become very acute when scale goes up and number of office counts goes up and employee counts go up. So we've gone up market accordingly.
Very cool. Tell me a little bit about your, like the history of AppNeta. Where did it come from? You know, where did the idea originate? How big is the company today? Like, what's, you know, sort of like a little bit of history on AppNeta and just in general?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'll start by answering that today, there are kind of 3 core value dimensions that we focus on when it comes to answering that performance related question of end user experience in the network. And it kind of breaks down into 3 core value areas we refer to as delivery, which is roughly described as, what is my end-to-end network and the ability to support the apps that I need to run? And that network can be anything as long as it's based on TCP/IP. Second would be something we call usage. Who's on my network? How much bandwidth are they using? How much impact is that bandwidth having on other applications? And oh, by the way, which applications are actually being run versus what you think is being run? So if I'm spending a bunch of money on a SaaS provider and I think I have that application running in 100 offices, only to find out that 30 of them did the you know, the card swipe and they decided to go a different route but not tell me, I'd like to know that. We call that usage. And the third value area is something we call experience, which, as you might expect, is all centered around end user experience of primarily web-based applications. When we got started, and the reason I started there, we got started in 2011, we had exactly one of those value areas, delivery. And the reason we started there, we think that when it comes to understanding the core ability of the network to support your apps and the apps to support your users, it's kind of like the foundation of your house. We don't tend to think about our foundations and our basements all that much. You know, when we're going to spend money on, you know, new curtains or drapes or decide to remodel the kitchen or add a new bath, we just kind of all take for granted the foundation's there until you move into a house with a bad one. And then you realize nothing else matters. If the foundation isn't solid, you're kind of in trouble. And the same is true with applications and users. If your network foundation isn't there, it doesn't really matter what's going on in the higher parts of the stack. And so we started in 2011 with some groundbreaking technology that's now been patented that allows us to experience the network the exact same way that applications do, but do it in such a way that it adds no load to the network. We're completely invisible to IT. Because there's a lot of monitoring, really cool monitoring technologies out there. But the challenge is when you try to deploy them, you actually affect the actual network you're monitoring. So the old Heisenberg principle starts to kick in where you're changing the results through the act of measuring it. And so we decided to focus on that first. And we spent a couple of years perfecting that technology. And we went after the mid-market, honestly, to prove to ourselves we wanted to get a wide enough view, talk to enough customers, see enough different use cases to find out where the corner cases were, find out where we didn't perform where we thought we should. And we did that probably from 2011 to 2014 or so, enough to build up some confidence that we were directionally correct. Sure, there were things we needed to do better. But one big takeaway was, you know, your basement is really, really important right up until the point we have a good basement. How many times do you think about your basement? And the answer was, well, once I fix it, I don't want to think about it again. And we realized we needed to go higher up in the value stack. And that's starting in 2014 when we started to add those other two value areas of end user experience and usage. And we've been on that same track ever since, that today results in this, you know, these three core value areas and taking those up market. And it's been quite a journey for us to move from the mid-market to the upper end mid-market to today to handle the world's largest, most complex networks with customers that are running hundreds, if not thousands, of simultaneous applications and be able to tell them how they're all performing.
Let me ask you another question. So the number of employees and worldwide, are they worldwide? How many?
Yeah, we've got, so we're bi-coastal, one coast. Our headquarters is based in Boston, where we have sales, marketing, G&A, and our general corporate functions. And then we have all of our development and all of our technical support and all of our QA is actually in Canada and the other coast up in Vancouver. So we're almost split down the middle. We have a slightly larger organization in Vancouver today. We're about 130 employees and split right about down the middle.
Okay.
So you get to spend some time out west, huh?
Yeah, and beautiful, beautiful Vancouver.
Yeah, I've never been out there, but I hear it's beautiful.
So here's another question. What's come up on some of the last podcasts we've talked about is security. Desktop as an application. So desktop as an application. Would you guys work together and measure those applications that are already residing in a kind of a lockdown environment?
We would, but we wouldn't do it from the desktop. One of the things that's kind of unique about our approach is you can drop a piece of AppNetic technology into an office, and it can be on a bare metal piece of software that runs on Linux or runs on Windows or runs on a Mac. You can drop it in via virtual infrastructure that could run either on VMware or KVM. You can leverage us via containers if you're on the container kick. Or if none of those work and you're the IT owner and operator and you really don't want to have another piece of software to manage, we also have a physical appliance. But the cool thing is you drop us into a remote location. We tend to live at what we refer to as the demarcation point between the WAN and the LAN. Like we're right where all the corporate network in an office comes together,
Typically
somewhere between the switch and the router and the firewall. And then we can measure out from that point to any place that office connects to, but we can also turn around and measure back in. So when you think about desktop as an application or any of the things that go with that, we can point and understand the performance out to each individual desktop. We can point it out to a mobile user. If it's on the corporate network, regardless if that network is Wi-Fi or wired, we can still measure it. And so that's one of the things that we thought was a fundamental game changer, is to have a low impact, low cost way to have broad reach, broad visibility, but not have to touch a lot of infrastructure along the way.
Okay.
If you're working with such large customers, I would imagine that several of them probably use a remote desktop or something like that. Was that something that was important to you guys as you were building? I mean, is that unique to what you guys do? Because I mean, it's a good question from John. I mean, it's a space that honestly we're getting into from a UCaaS perspective is DAS, and you know, we're seeing more and more demand for it, especially as we go up market into those larger mid-market enterprise customers. So I imagine you guys must see a fair amount of it.
We have, and we've seen probably two or three shifts. And I mean, it wasn't that far into our initial start that desktop as a service and virtual desktop were being talked about as the next big thing. And like a lot of next big things, they kind of got out of the blocks quickly, but faltered a little bit because there were other points of friction. You know, the enterprises weren't ready to adopt all the capabilities. And I think what's different now is that people are smarter. We've learned there's more standards. Frankly, there's more capacity on the network to support some of the overhead necessary to deliver those kind of servers with good quality performance. And I think that this next wave, just like UCaaS, you know, you think about the early days of VoIP, where we actually started, we partnered with some very early UC vendors, and the word UC as a service didn't even exist when we got started. But now you see that traction really taking off because there's fundamentals there, there's understanding, and most importantly, the businesses are ready to accept it. Whereas before, things like, you know, desktop as an application or desktop as a service or even virtual desktop, they were just a little too cutting edge. But I think I agree with you that we definitely see that. And it's a use case that we pay a lot of close attention to.
But let's go out, Matt. Let's just say 5 years out, what are you seeing 5 years out from now? Where is the market going to be? In what direction? And where do you guys fit in?
Well, let's see. Just putting my crystal ball on here. So
just a Merlin. It's the Merlin approach. We're going to go out. You tell us what happened.
Well, I guess it's to help. I mean, what do you got? What's the next wave for companies like you guys? What are you working on next? That's, you know, 1, 3, 5 years out.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think one of the things, honestly, in the next 5 years, I think we're all going to look back and laugh when somebody says they have a data center. We're going to go, what? You have a data center? Oh, wow. No kidding. Do you still have some IBM PCs too? We hear this time and time again that either A, I am moving away from my data centers and I have one goal, which is to systematically close them down, or at the best possible scenario, I'm not going to expand anymore. And any additional applications or capacity I need are going to be done some other way. I'm not going to keep throwing money at my data center. Now, of course, industry by industry, there are exceptions to that rule, but I think that's largely true. And I'm talking to broad swaths of the market that crosses lots of different interesting verticals that you might not think would believe that in just the last 36 months have gone from a no way SaaS is going to be here to, you know, we're SaaS first, or yeah, internet only. It's interesting. Now they're like, it's internet only. Like my connectivity plan for the remote branches is internet only. And if I can't rely on the internet, we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to do private networks anymore. I'm not going to invest in MPLS anymore. I'm just not going to do it. And I think those broad kind of sea changes have gone from the edge to the core. And 5 years from now, I think it's going to be a data centerless, internet only connectivity to it. It's going to be a mixture of SaaS and a mixture of other cloud architectures. But that is a given, which to me means the reliance on network visibility now becomes more acute, because no one's going to own the network. It's not going to be John's network or Matt's network. It's our network. And that's going to change minute by minute, second by second. And if you don't understand it, you're going to lose. It's just that simple.
Where does something like 5G or, I think, what is it? The next gen of Wi-Fi, like whatever it is, Wi-Fi 6. I don't know. Where do those kinds of things fit in?
Wi-Fi 6 is here. It's really interesting. The vendors have been working on silicon, and I think you're going to see drivers and, you know, calendar year 2020, Wi-Fi 6 is going to be all over the place, both in terms of, you know, you think about UC as a service and how hard it is to run unified communications over Wi-Fi today, because it's, you know, a half duplex connection.
Yep.
Wi-Fi 6 is going to do amazing things to be able to allow us to move to a truly wireless office for all applications, including real-time apps like voice. So I think that's going to be absolutely amazing. And I think you'll start to see it in the middle part of 2020, but by the end of 2021, Wi-Fi 6 will be everywhere. And wherever it isn't, you'll be certainly on 5G, which is, as long as the carriers can get the antenna coverage down, that's the single biggest challenge. It takes a ton of antennas to get good performance, but when they're there, 5G is going to be incredible.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about it now, it feels like, for 2 years with 5G, and I'm like ready for it. I'm like, okay, let's see what's it all about. If I can get like Wi-Fi 2 maybe on an airplane, I would take that. I think airplanes are still rocking Wi-Fi 1. So I don't know if we're going to get it in the sky yet, Matt. I think we're like four generations behind up there.
I would agree. I actually tend to pick my carriers these days based on the quality of their Wi-Fi. And it's interesting. Every apnean, which is how we refer to ourselves at the company.
Apnean?
We all have an apnean.
Yeah. If you're an apnean. Can you spell that for me?
APPNETIAN.
Apnean. All right. I like it.
And if you're in an apnean, you're traveling and you have a piece of our technology running on one of your devices, and we're always measuring networks wherever we go. And I personally measure the hotels I stay at, or I measure airplanes, and there are a couple carriers.
Wow, you're pretty much, geeky, much aren't better you?
Job than others. And we make our business travel decisions based on the quality of the network, because it makes a difference to our life. Wow. I mean, if you think about the last time you're on a coast to coast flight and you didn't have Wi-Fi.
Oh God.
It was horrible. And you have a Wi-Fi, that flight just flies by because you get so much done.
Where do Marriott and Delta rank? Because that's generally my two go-tos.
Marriott is in the top 10% of any hotel chain when it comes to actual Wi-Fi performance. They are very, very good. And what's even more impressive about them is they will fully admit when they're not. They're so informed. I'm so impressed. I'm biased. I'm a Marriott customer as well. But their hotel properties, those guys are so far ahead of knowing where they stand. And they tell you, I had a recent stay at a non-Marriott property about 3 weeks ago, and it was very painful. I ended up using my cell phone because it was better than the Wi-Fi of the hotel.
You know where they could use better Wi-Fi? Trade shows.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Bad. We were just, John and I were just at one in DC a few weeks ago, and it was unusable. I mean, totally unusable. And it said, like, you know, connect here. It's sponsored by so-and-so.
Yeah.
You couldn't even, it was literally unusable. I like you, I ended up using my cell phone as a hotspot because it was faster.
Much, much faster.
And that wasn't even that fast.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a funny thing, you guys bring up Wi-Fi. It's one of the classic mistakes. We see this with a lot of our enterprise customers too. And when you design a Wi-Fi network and you test it and you go on and you do a survey, you connect to it with a low amount of users and it gets great performance. But the problem with Wi-Fi prior to Wi-Fi 6 is it's only as good as the weakest link. So if one person happens to connect to that antenna and they're at the far edge of the range and they are only getting a couple hundred kilobits per second, there you go. That's the end of that AP. It will never go faster than that. And so most of our customers have learned that you've got to deploy a lot of APs. You just got to blanket the area and have them all be low power. And we see that with trade shows too, like the really smart trade shows, Cisco Live, RSA, you know, the Cisco Live conference back in June, I don't remember the count, but it was many, many hundreds of APs around a reasonable amount of floor space. And the performance was great, accordingly.
Wow. So now we go to the fun part of the show. When we talked about there'll be a test at the end, so this is really not a test, but I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. So if you wanted to go to your favorite vacation place that you have never been before, where would that be?
So it can't be your favorite. It has to be like a...
No, one of your bucket list.
Yeah.
Where would you go that you haven't been before? Where would that be, Matt?
I have promised my wife to take her to Cape Town, South Africa. So the minute it becomes a suitable place to go again, I have friends that have gone there. It's absolutely on my list. So Cape Town is definitely very, very high on my
list. And while you're there... You would probably, if what would be your favorite dessert, which you'd probably have to take with you, I'd think. What would be your favorite dessert to take with you in your bag to Cape Town?
What kind of question is
that? I don't know. Cape Town doesn't really think in my head.
My creme brulee roll-on, for sure.
Creme brulee roll-on.
Okay.
No, but if you were in Cape Town, you could do. You could go on a safari, in other parts of Africa,
and have a dessert.
No, but I just think doing a safari. I would love to go on a safari.
We're on dessert here. We're not on a safari, David.
You would be a dessert for a lion.
I was very fortunate. I did a photo safari 5 years ago in South Africa and saw what they call the Big Five. So I saw all Big Five animals on a photo safari. It was an incredible experience, which led me on that experience for people to say, "You think this is great? You've got to see Cape Town." I'm like, "Oh, okay." So
did you have dessert while you were there?
Don't answer that question, man.
Yeah.
The big five. Do you think we could name the big five animals?
Right, let's try. Let's try. Okay Matt, don't help us, Matt. I'd say rhino.
Yep.
Lion.
Yep.
Elephant.
Yep.
Zebra.
Nope.
Wildebeest.
Nope.
Water buffalo.
It's really, really fast.
Cheetah. We need one more.
Hippo.
You got it.
Wow. Oh, Les the producer. Les the producer. Les the producer.
He just woke up and said hippo. he was sound asleep over here.
I was just looking at my box of Barnum's animals.
Yeah. He was on his little mat sleeping, taking his little afternoon nap, and woke up and looked at his animal crackers just and said
hippos. Yeah. Well, Matt,
if you just scream hippo out, it never goes wrong.
that's how we learn. Well, Matt, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been fascinating. I've learned a ton about what you guys do and about Upneta and just in an area of the world that I didn't even really think about. So
thank you so much for joining us today. We'd love to have you on again.
It was great, man.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed it. And if you're ever in Boston, please come to Summer Street. We'd love to host you.
I would absolutely. I'd just take you up on that. David, I'll be there in 2 weeks.
I get up there quite often, actually. All right. So we'll all right, Matt. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Here. Bye.
All right. Well, that was a really fascinating discussion with Matt. It's not something, you know, I think about like network performance. We're so conditioned to think about SD-WAN, right?
Right.
And so for us, it's a bit of a, I don't know, it's a different discussion.
It's a little more, I won't say agnostic. It's like they're measuring everything. It's not like just SD-WAN is, you've got the multiple ways you can fine tune it. I think it could be more of a very accurate litmus test that they could administer and tell the CTOs, as opposed to having their own staff saying,
This is how it's going.
And it really isn't. So
I think it provides a level of a realistic picture of your network. We're talking a little bit about Marriott. We kind of get into that. And I think that's, whether or not they're a customer, I have no idea, but you know, they would be a good kind of customer for AppNet because, you know, they've got, let's call them thousands of branch offices and they've got people staying there and using their internet service. And if you're Marriott and you want to know what's the realistic picture of my network at this location, you know, like that's something that you would find interesting, right? How is my performance here? Or what does my performance look like? How does the applications I run internally for bookings and, monitoring, cleanings of the room, I know whatever applications you're running on site, you know, how does that affect the internet experience for the customer?
It has to have some effect on them.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. It's like, do I have a big enough pipe? You know, do I have the right,
or is this software just bogging everything down? And there's a lighter version of it that we could use.
And if you have an SD-WAN solution, then you go over to your SD-WAN solution. And you're like, all right, I need to pipe, turn this up and turn that down.
Yeah.
So I think it does complement that. It's just an interesting, you know, like you said, like litmus test or report card that you can get on your network performance.
It's unbiased because it's not going to be based on the company giving their own performance to their higher ups within the company. Your IT group's not going to say, oh, everything's fine, everything's working great, and really it truly isn't.
Right, so you get to complain from the higher ups there. You know, the internet, this is just not working. My CRM is going so slow. It's like, oh, it's not our fault. It's just, you know, it's just...
Yeah,
and then you can
you can actually tell
where the problems are. So it's fascinating. And I think, like he said, the demand for a company like AppNet is only going to get greater and greater because as we move things into the cloud.
Yeah, that's what he said. In 5 years, it's going to be, we still have a data center and it'll be a chuckle.
Well, we know just in the UC space that customers, you know, they don't want to invest in MPLS and, you know, they want to go over the top with their own broadband and maybe have an extra circuit or something like that. It's way, way, way cheaper. So, I mean, he's right on when he's talking about this data centerless world. Where you don't have to have everything back connected to this, you know, paying a data center outrageous fees or whatever the case is. So I think, you know, he's got a good point. I think they're set up well for success. I like to follow them and see sort of where they go and where they fit in. Cause I think there's a real market for what they do. Clearly.
Absolutely.
Mentioned that they're working with 4 out of the 5 largest companies.
That's kind of amazing to me. You go, okay,
I didn't see that one coming, right?
No, I didn't. I did not.
And, you know, he talked about only, you know, they start at upper mid-market and move up to enterprise is really their focus.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting because...
Well, when 5 years from now, people are, you know, they're not using any data centers and smaller companies, I mean, it could be that mid-sized market that they go down into.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if they've got 4 out of 5 of the top, where's the growth from? Where's the growth going to come from? It's got to come from...
Below.
it's got to come from below and work its way up.
But getting as well as I do, getting a couple of those big enterprise customers can make your year pretty quickly.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think you're right. If you lock them all down, then there's nowhere to go but the other direction.
Yeah, exactly.
Not a bad problem to have, though.
Not a bad problem to have. However, I think that from a strategy point of view, I think they're probably looking at that like, how do we get this down? Because I think more and more people are getting more and more sophisticated, those companies that are in that mid-market, to go, we want to get out of this. We don't want to deal with servers anymore. We don't want to deal with everything. It's like, you know, what can we do? Let's get in the cloud, and now let's measure our performance.
Especially since more and more of those mid-market companies are less concerned about where their employees sit.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think, you know, that is becoming, with the proliferation of SaaS applications, access anywhere, anytime, where an employee does their work from is less and less important, as long as they're getting it done, right?
Right.
So, you know, he mentioned probably half a dozen times that they work really well with remote employees, with remote offices, with, like, so if you've got a space that's, you know, that you maybe three or four people are at, as opposed to your big corporate office with 1,000 people,
right,
and, you know,
right,
you want to measure the performance there. Like you said, it's great to fine tune the performance at your company headquarters.
Yeah, but let's go out to the field.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where the, you know, most companies are good. They're
and that's dispersing. Where the complaints come from too, right? You've got people in the field. You've got people in little branch offices that are like, "Hey, Mike, our connection stinks.
I can't get into our CRM.
I can't log this meeting because I can't. Our CRM is too slow." Yeah, exactly. So you've got those issues. So I think, you know, he's right on. And I think, like you said, I think, you know, you mentioned as they go maybe into more mid-market, as mid-market becomes more sophisticated, their product becomes more relevant to those kinds of concerts. So very, very cool.
Good conversation.
Would like to go to South Africa. What about you?
No, not a big fan. I'd be all right.
No. I would love to go on a safari. I think that sounds super cool.
That's kind of hot.
You live in Florida.
I know. That's what I mean. It's like, you know.
I think it gets cool there.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Does it?
They have winter than South Africa. Less.
Well, less. Are you going to go?
Can we get a, what temperature range for Cape Town?
Sure.
I think it gets pretty cold there.
My wife's cousin lives in Johannesburg.
Oh, okay.
And it gets cold there.
What's her favorite dessert? I don't know. I just don't think of South Africa as being a dessert capital.
I think I have good food. I don't know. I've never been there to eat, so I couldn't comment on the food scene.
We're probably going
to
lose all our
South African viewers. No, because I'm pro South. I'm saying let's go.
You want to do a podcast there? Well, I'd do a podcast there. How long take to get there?
It's a long way to go to do a
podcast. How long of a flight?
17 hours or so from New York.
Nothing.
Right now, Johannesburg.
As long as you got the good internet connection.
It's 71 right now.
71 in Johannesburg right now.
Yeah, it'll be 54 tonight.
54?
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's nice. That's like San Diego.
Okay, then I'm in.
You're in?
I'm in for that.
Let me check Cape Town because that's a lot further south.
Wait a minute now. What is it?
Drum
Cape
roll.
Town?
Let me get Cape
Town. 65 is not that much.
65 in Cape Town. It's beautiful.
Raining.
Maybe it won't rain tomorrow. So you're in on Cape Town, or you're out on Cape Town.
I'd go to Cape Town. The weather is what it is, but
sounds beautiful.
The safari thing. It's like I'm not a hunter. I'm not gonna hunt animals.
Neither am I. But wouldn't it be cool to see them like real close, like in their natural habitat? I think it sounds super cool.
As long as there was dessert, I would go.
From what I hear, you know, you can do these really nice sort of safari thing, and you get to the and then they come back and they've got this beautiful meal laid out for you.
Now that would be kind of cool.
Now, but
wouldn't you think that the cheetahs and the lions are going? They're going to set up camp right over here, and they've got it all set up.
I think they like sort of have it scouted out. They know where the tourists go.
Of course,
they
do. They're smart animals.
Yeah, they're one of the top five, the big five.
Yeah, one of the big five. Hippo.
we were out on the hippo. We didn't get the hippo and the cheetah. We were struggling with those. All right, I think that's it.
Yeah.
All right, good show,
David. Thank you.
All right, Johnny. For Heads in the Cloud, I'm David Portnowitz.
I'm John Ross.
We'll catch you next time.